Daniel chapter 3. You know, in chapter 2, we ended up, remember Nebuchadnezzar had that dream of that image with the head of gold and the chest and the shoulders and arms of silver and the thigh and the belly and the thighs of brass and the legs of iron and the feet of iron mixed with clay. All the Gentile kingdoms laid out before they take place. And Nebuchadnezzar was that head of gold. You remember Daniel was given that dream. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar had the dream and Daniel, God showed Daniel what the dream was and the interpretation. And Daniel told the king. And it was right on. And so the king raised him up in power and authority. And remember, we ended with the flow chart of Babylon. Remember that? It was the king, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then the wise guys, the New Agers and the Chaldeans of his time. And then the people. I'll do it again. The king, then Daniel, then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then the wise guys, the Chaldeans, the New Agers. And then the people. So Daniel and his three friends, the children of Israel, were raised up above the wise guys in the kingdom, the wisest men in the kingdom, the New Agers, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the magicians, the thinkers of the day. Amazing things that God does. And when God does that in your life, somebody's not going to like you. You know that the New Agers, the magicians, the Chaldeans, the sorcerers, the enchanters, you know they're all so jealous and so angry because now they come under Daniel and under Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They don't belong up there. Those are captives. Those are Jews. But there they are. You see, whenever the Lord moves, the devil doesn't like him. Well, so we come to chapter 3. I am so glad that Daniel chapter 3 is here in the Bible. Because I know that there are many going through fiery trials right now. I know it's true. How do I know? Because we're people and the Lord said this is the way life is going to be. If you're not going through a trial now, have patience. You'll get to. It's coming. Hang on. If you just got through a trial and you're thinking, man, that was over. No, it's not. It's just a little break. Praise God. Stay on the mountaintop. Look around. Because here it comes again. As long as we're in these bodies, this is the way it's going to be. It's not going to be all roses and rainbows. Jesus said so. Difficult times. Well, look at chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Just a little bit outside of Babylon, the plains of Dura there, the city of Babylon. Out in the plains, he builds this image of gold. And this image is 90 feet tall. If you'd like to take a look at the width of this room, that's this room. Laying down, it would fill this room. That's tall when you stand that up. I guess the peak of this comes to about 36 feet. This is a 90-foot tall statue image, and it was 9 feet wide. And so the argument is, what was it? Was it a monument like the Washington Monument? Some say, no, it was an image. It was an image of a person because, see, Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, and it was the head and the shoulders and the belly and thighs and the legs and the feet, remember? And so it's probably an image. Some say, well, yeah, no doubt it was an image because Daniel told the king, in that dream, you, O King Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. And so the king now makes an image of all gold. It's probably wood overlaid with gold, but it's a golden image. 90 feet in the plains of Dura. That area is kind of like a valley out there in the middle. It'd be in the mountains way out and around. So you see, when you've got a 90-foot object down there out near the middle, you could see it from no matter which way you're coming from. Kind of like the way an airport would lay. You know, you got plenty of flat ground all the way around or semi-level ground. And so you could see this thing. This is going to be impressive. And the king sets up an image. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together, this is verse 2,
The princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, you and I, that's easy. I mean, come on. You've seen dedications of things. They've dedicated plants. They've dedicated statues. They've dedicated monuments. You've seen them. They'll cover them up and they'll have somebody come out and make a speech that nobody really wants to listen to. But the speech will go. The band will play. Then they uncover it. Tumultuous applause. Oh, the dedication of the... Let's see, we understand. It's not a difficult chapter to understand. This is easy. Then, verse 3. The princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together into the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood in front of her before the image Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So here you get, just get a picture of all the leaders, all the rulers, the judges, all those things we just listed. Now, who would that include? Let me give you the flow chart again. You got Nebuchadnezzar, then you have who? Daniel, then you have who? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, then you have who? Wise guys, then you have who? People. All the leaders would include Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, wouldn't it? So you got everybody out there as far as we know. I think Daniel's missing. You'll see why I think that in a moment. But anyway, I know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are there because the chapter turns out to be about them anyway. I don't want to cheat you by moving ahead. But you know, everybody's there in the plane of Dura, just to watch the dedication and the unveil of this amazing thing, huge, tall. Then a herald, not a guy named Harold, not necessarily that it wasn't a guy named Harold, not suggesting that. I'm just saying a herald is someone who just speaks out loud publicly, a public speaker, to tell people what the king says and what's going on. So the herald cries aloud, verse 4, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. Okay, a law. Here's a commandment now. We've got a new law in the land. Nebuchadnezzar's got a law, and so the herald cries out, here's the new law. What is it? That at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, from now on, I'm just going to say the band. Okay? That's so much easier. When you hear the music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso, verse 6, falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now that is so easy to grasp for your average person. Here's the law. When the band plays, you bow down before this image and you worship. If you don't, the penalty is you'll be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. Now, you know, that's not a hard concept to grasp. We drive down the road and the sign, the posted limit is, let's say, 35 or 45. And if you get caught doing a 50 and a 35, if you're caught, they write a ticket. You understand the law. Okay, now the law is this. You broke the law, and so you'll have to pay the fine, whatever the fine is. So here the law is you got to bow down and worship the image. If you don't, the fine is you're thrown into fire and you're burned up. Crispy critter. Now that's not hard to understand. So far this chapter is really easy. I don't know why people struggle with this so much. Even I can understand this. Verse 7 says, therefore. Now when you see therefore, you look and see what it's there for. Therefore, because you now know an image has been set up. Everybody, leaders especially, are out there near the image. When the band plays, everybody's got to bow down and worship. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the band, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Why did they worship this image? Why did they bow down? Because they looked and they said, that is the biggest thing I have ever seen as far as statues go. Wow. No, that's not what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? They did it because it was the law. Well, what am I getting at? This is not from their heart. They're not so amazed at the image that they just have to worship. They're not so amazed at the king that they just have to go, oh my goodness, and bow down. They bow down because that's what they're supposed to. They're supposed to. It's not in the heart. No heart. Here's the attitude. Oh, well,
It's time to bow now. No big deal, no big problem. Let's just bow and get on with our day. It's not going to hurt anything. It's not going to take much time. Come on. Dad's driving down the street. He's got this little bitty girl in the back seat. Just the cutest little thing who refuses to sit down in her car seat. Honey, you need to sit down. It's dangerous. You need to sit down. I don't want to. I realize that you don't want to, but I am command. And so I'm telling you to sit down now. No. If I pull the car over, I will spank you. And the little girl sits down with that face. Maybe half a mile down the road, she goes, Daddy, yeah, honey, I'm still standing in my heart. That's how a lot of Christians do things. These people bow down before the image, but it wasn't in their hearts to do it. It's just what you do. Just what you got to do, so you just do it. I hope and pray, Christian. I'm just talking to the Christians. I hope and pray that that's not why you do what you do. I hope and pray that there's real heart, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that there's heart in what you do. I hear this so often. Well, I don't like the church that I attend. I'm not learning God's word there. And of course, what's the logical question? Then why do you go there? Well, because that's where all my friends are. Let me just say it in the chapter 3 version of it. No problem, no big deal. It's time to bow. Let's just bow and get on with our day. No problem. I receive emails. People listen to our radio program. And so we get a lot of emails from our radio ministry. Praise God, we do. Some like it and some aren't Christians. I can tell by the language they use as they write the letters. One of them says something like this. Not one of them. This is just a standard that we get. Thank you for teaching the Bible. I'm learning so much from the verse-by-verse teaching. Our pastor doesn't teach much from the Bible. But my family has gone to church there since before I was born. So I continue to go to church there, but I listen to the radio, and that's where I learn God's word. Why are you there? Well, that's where we've always gone. No problem. It's really no big deal. It's time to bow. So let's just bow and get on with our day. I attend church because I love the worship music there. And they don't really teach the Bible, but the worship music is great, and that's why we go. It's the best around. We tried them all. I mean, we went to every church, got the best music, and this is it. Or I attend church because the singles ministry, I am a lonely, lonely man or a lonely woman, and they got cute ones. We checked out the ministries, and theirs is the cutest singles ministry in town, and that's it. And what do we say? Not really a problem, you see, because it's time to bow. Just go ahead and bow and get it over with today. It's not going to take much time. No big deal. Or I attend church because the other church I was attending expected me to actually live what they were teaching. Can you believe that? They were just too judgmental. They wanted me to be accountable. I got out of there fast. I just wasn't into that kind of thing. See, that's not my lifestyle. What are they saying? It's no problem. It's no big deal. It's time to bow. You just bow. Go ahead and bow. It's nothing's in your heart. It's no big deal. Is that true? There needs to be some heart in this. You can't fake a heart. You can fake a walk. You just can't fake a heart. And you can never fake a heart long if you can try to pull it off even at all. No problem. It's no big deal, really. You see, it's time to bow. And so you just bow. It's quick. It's painful. Now, out there is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, we know what they're going to do, don't we? They're Bible heroes, for crying out loud. What do you think they're going to do? Bow? If they were human and had to put up with what I had to put up with. What if it would have been Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and me? I know what would happen. I know. Because I know me. Walking out there. Guys, Guys, Bob, calm down. Listen, you know, they told us about our law. We can't bow. We belong to the Lord. We're not allowed to bow. We're not allowed to bow to images. We're not even allowed to make images. I don't know. We know we should look at it. Bob, you're a little hyper, dude. Calm down, man. I'm not kidding. And you know, he said you're burning fire furnace, and I don't need that. I just don't need that, guys. I think we ought to come up with a plan. What plan? We're not going to bow. How about, I got one. Because they'd be so calm. Then I'd be going, I got a plan. What, Bob? When the band plays, we'll tie our shoe. I wasn't bowing, in case you didn't notice. I was talking about, come on. You thought I was bowing? Come on, I'm a Christian. We could sneeze. Oh, excuse me. One of my favorites is we could do this. Guys, we'll just bow, but we won't really be bowing in our hearts. Not really. God knows. Bob, just calm down. We're not going to bow. You know what I've been saying? I would have been saying the rest of the time till the band played. Don't you guys dare bow. I mean, we're staying up, aren't we? Yeah, we're staying up. We belong to the Lord. Okay, don't bow. I'm warning you, bow. I'm going to kick you in the face. Don't bow. Just don't bow. I'm not going to bow. You're not going to bow, right? I'm holding you. You're not bowing. There's music. Don't bow. It would have taken a lot of courage to not bow, wouldn't it? How did they do that? How did they do that? Say, brother, the Holy Spirit. Well, of course it was. How did they do that? Chapter 1 already told you. They had purposed in their heart. Remember that? They had purposed in their heart. When is the time to be ready for a trial? How many of you, and don't raise your hand, are in the middle of the trials and now you're trying to get some commitment going? Okay, God, I didn't know. I'm reading my Bible now. I started praying last Thursday. I've been praying since Thursday, and Lord, get it off. There should have been commitment before the trial came. They didn't know the trial was coming that day. They didn't know what the law was going to be. But there it is. Commitment is always before the trial comes. What did I tell you earlier? What's the truth? Trials will come. You're not going to get right smack in the middle of it and go, oh man, I better really turn my life around. Well, I guess that's better than not at all. But you know, wisdom is to be committed right now so that when someone gets in your face, you're already there and committed. And your heart is there and you're not going to bow. You're not even going to be tempted to bow. Because trials come. We have brothers and sisters right now in the middle of trials. And life is not easy. It's hard. And you don't know anything past this. And you're thinking, I don't know if we're going to make it. I don't know. I don't know what to do or how to do it. But you see, the commitment is to the Lord. And it always must be before the trials begin. And if you don't know when your next trial is coming, and I don't know when our next trial is coming, we ought to be committed now. True? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were committed before this day ever came. Or they would have bowed along with the rest of the Jewish people and the rest of all the other leaders. They would have bowed down too. They're not super Christians. Rip open their shirts. Big S on their chest. And a C, of course. Super Christian. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. More powerful. No. It's God's power. It's God's strength. It's always God. Not by might, not by power, but by my Holy Spirit, saith the Lord. And I will fold if I'm not committed before that trial begins. Does he give you strength in trials? He strengthened these guys in trials. But their hearts were his before the trial began. Well, look, let's go on. Verse 7 says, wait, did we read verse 7? We did? Why don't you tell me that? Let's do verse 8. It's hard to keep up with you guys. You're way ahead of me here. I make it look easy, though, don't I? Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Sour grapes. The Jews have been placed above them in authority. They're just captives. They don't belong there. We're the wise guys. We're the brains here. We're the ones that belong. What are they doing there? Okay, here's a chance to shoot them down. And they spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Remember, that's how you talk to kings. O king, live forever. They don't care about this king. Matter of fact, we're mad at you. They're not going to say this. But you put them above us. That's a mistake. O king, live forever. When someone pats you on the back, they're expecting you to cough something up. You know that, don't you? The Bible says, stay away from flattering lips. You got to watch it. Don't be cynical. Pay close attention. You're the best teacher in the world. I know better. What do you want? I don't have any money. What do you want? What's going on? They said this, O king, live forever. Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, you have made a decree. It was you. That every man that shall hear the sound of the band and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. That's what you said, king. And whoever doesn't fall down and worship, he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And the king's probably going, right, yeah, and your point is, yeah. Yes, I did that. Yeah, you, king, you said that. And you said that if they didn't bow down and worship when the band played it, they'd have to be thrown in a fiery furnace. You said that, Riah. Well, there are certain Jews who, by the way, you set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not listened to you. They serve not your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. They don't respect you. You put them in charge even over us. And look at this. They didn't bow. Sour grapes. Anything to hurt the work of the Lord. Anything to destroy the man and the woman who really wants to serve God. Any way to distract them or hurt them or pull them off course. Anything. That's what the devil wants to do. Steal, kill, destroy. Back in elementary school, you guys probably don't remember this far back. Well, some of you. Rebellion is bound in the heart of a child. And I was a child. Rebellious little dude. Don't do this. The teacher would say, all right, I'm leaving the room. I want no one to talk and do not get out of your seat. So when she left, what did I have to do? Talk on my way to the front. To the board, wrote on something on the board, something silly, walked back and sit down. Because rebellion is bound in the heart of a child, and she tried to drive it out with a stick. Worked. She comes back into the room, this teacher. She was a wrestler. We called her Puffy, but I don't think that was her name in the wrestling outfit. I was in something tough, but. There's always that little kid who is a coward, who would have gotten up and talked had they had the nerve. Remember those kids? They always wanted to be rebellious, but their parents wouldn't let them. Teacher? Yeah. Remember how you said that we couldn't get out of our seats and we weren't supposed to talk? Yeah. Well, Bob... Can't you just hear these Chaldeans? King, you said we weren't supposed to. We had to bow when the music played, and then we didn't bow when we were getting the fire. Yeah, yeah. Well, those guys, those Jews, you put in charge over us. You know they didn't bow. You know they don't respect you. They don't even care. You better get them. I added that part. Then Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 13, in his fury, in his rage, in his fury, he commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Oh, bummer. That's bad news. You see, now, if it's Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and me, you can imagine the conversation going on headed for the king. Oh, guys, man, I don't like fire. Oh, my hot, Bernie. I don't know what we're going to do. We're in trouble. Calm down, Bob. No, this is serious. Never did we dream when we got there. We thought he's going to throw us in the fire. But you're going to find out he's not going to throw them in the fire. He's going to say, guys, I'm going to give you another chance. Oh, bummer. Man, if there's one thing that I wouldn't have wanted that day was another. Would you? It had to have been so hard to not bow down the first time. Wouldn't you think? I mean, thousands are out there and they all bow. And you know, you stick, I hate cliches, but like a sore thumb, you're sticking out there all by you standing up. There's three of you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And now you're thinking, oh man, we're in it now. We're in deep trouble. And you walk in and you're thinking he's going to yell and scream. And he goes calmly, look, Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said to them, is it true? This is what I've heard. I don't know if this is rumor or not. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you not serve my gods nor worship the golden image that I've set up? Now, before they can answer, verse 15 says, now, if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the band, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good or well or just right. That's what I want. But if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You're there and you're thinking, oh, man, we have had it. And he goes, you know what, guys? I heard that you didn't bow. Now, that can't be right. Can't be right. These guys, I think it's sour grapes. I think they probably just don't like you because I've put you up here pretty much in charge. Now, you got, you know, a lot of responsibility here. And so I'm going to just give you the benefit of the doubt. I'll tell you what. I'm going to have the band play another verse of Just As You Were. And I want you at that point when the band plays, I want you to come on down and bow. And if you do that, that'd be great. That's what I want. Now, if you don't, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Oh, how hard that must have been. Come on. You've been in difficult situations. How difficult must that have been to be called in front of the king and said, I'm going to have you a little special concert go on here. We'll have the band play one more time, another course, and you have a chance to bow now. It had to be hard the first time, but I'm telling you, Christian, how difficult that must have been. And then he says something that he should have never said. I'm going to throw you in the furnace if you don't bow. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? And you can imagine God going, are you talking to me? Same thing with Pharaoh. Moses says, God says, let my people go. Pharaoh goes, who is God that I should listen to him? God's going, oh, I'll show you. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Let me say it in American. You're in my hands. You don't bow. I'm throwing you in the fire. And there's nothing any God can do about it. Yeah, I know you serve a different God. Who is that God who could take you out of my hands? It's not going to happen. So you guys need to think twice. We'll have the band strike up here. What would you do? I mean, besides wine. Wait, gee. This is so hard. Lord, I thought you were a God of love, and I thought you said when I was... And wait a minute, my feet hurt. Oh, we're so American. I ain't afraid. Well, a little. I'm a little afraid, but not much. Whoa. Shadrach, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, and they don't say live forever. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Oh, I like it. Christian, what a lesson. Let's say that in our language. King, we don't have to think about our answer. Hear that, Christian? They're saying, we don't even have to give it any thought. We have to be careful and think about our words. We have to choose them wisely. We don't have to say, could you give us 2 minutes? We just like to pray over here, us three, and then we'll answer you. We want to seek the Lord and see what it... No. You know, we're not careful to answer you. We know what our answer has to be. We've committed to the Lord years ago. We belong to Him. We serve Him. And whatever comes our way, we are His. And it doesn't matter. So we're not careful to answer you. Here's our answer. If it be so, verse 17... Our God, whom we do serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. In American, if He wants to, our God is perfectly capable of not letting you throw us in that fire. Our God can keep you from throwing us in that fire.
And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, do you hear that? Do you hear the language of faith? But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Now those men are brave men. If you will bow when the band plays, good, that's what I want. But if you won't, your God will not deliver you out of my hands. King, we don't even have to think about our response. We will not bow before the image. We will not serve your gods. You see, our God can do anything. And if he wants to, he could keep us from being thrown in. He could deliver us from your hands, whatever. Our God can do anything right now. But if he doesn't do it, and we get thrown in the fire, before we die, we want you to hear this. We will not serve any other God. He is my God, my Lord. I belong to him. Christian, he is your God, your Lord, and we will serve no other God. Here's the language of faith. I know you've been listening to the faith stuff on the television, on the radio. Here's the language of faith. Listen closely. Not creating your own reality. Not when we get into a car accident and say, that's not my nose across the street. That's not my reality. When Steve and Paul and I play racquetball now and they're winning, it's like 13-1. I just look at them and go, this isn't my reality. My reality is I've already won the game already and you guys are just playing by yourself. You're weird. You know, that's not faith. Creating your own reality, it's not there. You don't see it in Scripture. Here's faith. Listen closely. King, our God is an awesome God. He can do anything. And we honestly don't know what he's going to do now. We don't know what he's going to do. But whatever he does, we serve him, we trust him, he is our God. So whatever you think you got to do, then you have to do that. That's, you can't get more powerful faith than that. Jesus, there in the garden, not my will, yours. Whatever you do, Lord God Almighty, is perfect with me. Think about that. That's what faith is. We try to make faith saying, okay, I'm in this trouble and this is this. I think, Lord, this has happened and this too. And I'm claiming it, Lord. I'm asking in faith and I'm claiming that's got to happen. That's got to happen. And that's got to happen. That's not faith. That's taking over command. Now he is the servant and we are the commander in chief and we're telling him what's got to be. Is that faith? No. Faith. Jesus looks at Peter. Peter's walking on water and Peter goes, this can't happen. And he sinks and Jesus says, oh, Peter, where's your faith? Just have faith. Trust God. What you gonna do? I don't know. Trust him. Can you do that? In simple faith. Some of you are in trials right now. You must draw near to the Lord. And you must, by simple faith, say, Lord, whatever you choose to do, I am yours. I will not serve any other God. I belong to you. People say it's a cop-out. No, 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 no. That's faith. That's what faith is. Trusting that the Lord will work. You're going to see a miracle in a moment. And by the way, you would not have seen that miracle if these guys compromised. It wouldn't be a miracle. You wouldn't need one because everybody just said, oh, well, no big deal, no problem. It's time to bow, we bow. It's over, done with, go on with our lives. We could have been killed, but we were smart enough to go ahead and bow. We didn't bow in our hearts. It's okay. Compromise. Remember we learned compromise is defeat. Compromise is always more comfortable than commitment. Always. Commitment here is really uncomfortable. I'm telling you right now, had I been there and I know he's going to give us another chance and I'm thinking in my mind, we're not going to bow. You're wasting your time and another chance, but you know, this is really an uncomfortable feeling because I know what's coming next. But the truth is, King, we don't have to think about our answer. Our answer was decided when we gave our hearts to the Lord. We sang it earlier. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. What if you get thrown in the fire? Well, I'm into barbecues, not necessarily that deep into them, but hey. Faith. Can I trust him to take care of me even when it's uncomfortable for me?
I don't see anywhere in here. You don't read the chapter at the end, and they say, and by the way, all the way through it, these guys felt great, never bothered them in the least. Do you see that anywhere? No, you know what's going through their heads. Oh boy, I hope this doesn't hurt much. Like we all say as Christians, I don't mind death. It's the preliminaries that really bug me. It's getting to it. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. I don't. You know, dying is nature's way of telling you to slow down. I don't want to slow down. I want to keep serving just for all eternity. Well, look what happens. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. I'm surprised. And the form of his face, visage, was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Man, he's so mad. You've seen people do that, haven't you? They're so mad. You see their faces starting to curl up, and you think they're going to be, you know, there's a demon coming out of there. Ooh, they're mad. You can see it. And that's what it was, King Nebuchadnezzar. His visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spoke, and he commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it was usually heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the entire army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Doesn't your temper, my temper, our temper, doesn't it really make us do dumb things? Isn't it embarrassing when you get mad and you're out of control for a few minutes and then you come back under control and you can't even believe you were acting like that, and you're going, what is the world? You know, James chapter 1 verse 20 says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. When you get angry, human anger, you're not going to do what's right. You're not going to really bless those around you. It's not going to happen. You're going to make a fool of yourself. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, don't be hasty in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Anger. You ever get mad? You know, in high school, I played on a football team that could be beaten by any team in the state. The girls, badminton team, wipe us out. Not many of us went on to play pro sports. But boy, we had heart. Do you get out there and you get so mad? You ever been on a football field, those guys and girls that played football? You ever get on the football field and a fight breaks out? What's the first piece of equipment that goes? Helmet. Isn't that the dumbest thing you've ever heard? Wouldn't you think you'd want to leave that on and say, all right, man, and start swinging because he took his off? Let him hit you in the helmet. What's it going to do? It makes a little noise. But you're so mad, you throw the helmet off. That ain't right. Then they hit you. Boom, now you got a broken nose. Could have just had a little bit of a bent little thingy on the front there. That's us, isn't it? We'd go to the locker room after losing the game. Guys would pull the helmet off and beat their heads against the lockers and punch the lockers. Now, that's smart. See, your temper really brings out the intel in you, doesn't it? We lose our tempers and we say things. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean to say that. You're nuts. The things that are coming out of your mouth, that's just bizarre. Here's something really dumb. Heat the furnace 7 times hotter. Now, if you would stay calm, here's what you think. All right, let's lower the temperature. So when you throw them in, they go, ow, 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 for a long time. No, instead, you heat it up, you throw them in there, they're dead instantly. No pain. I mean, they're dead before the flames really get them. The heat, and get it? He makes a fool of himself because his anger, his rage is out of control. And so the Bible tells us, don't be that way. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Your temper, your anger will not make you do things that are right and pleasing in God's eyes. They won't. So we're told later on, put away anger. Give place to wrath. Don't let it get a hold of you because I'm going to say something or do something or hurt someone, and some of it's not repairable. Well, another thing. He calls out the strongest men in the entire Babylonian army. These guys must have been hulks. Huge. I mean, just you can imagine. They ripple. You know, they move their arms and it's, oh, I see them at the club sometimes. A lot like me. Only bigger. And I can see these men coming up and saying, all right, you guys, we're going to tie you up. And I can see the three going, okay.
Yeah, it's going to take the strongest men in this army. Tie these guys up. They're not fighting you. You could have had the women's choir come in and do it. Not the badminton team. They're tough. I remember they beat us. But anyway. You see how your anger makes you do foolish things. So let the Lord take control of the anger. Let the Lord deal with that. And you leave it alone. Then these men, verse 21. Were bound, tied up in their coats, their socks, their hats, other garments. In other words, fully clothed. They just grabbed them, tied them up, and were thrown into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And you say, you know, I don't believe this is a fire. I don't believe it's a real fire. It's probably symbolic for some kind of something. The next verse says, because the king's commandment was so urgent and because the fire was so hot, the flames of the fire killed the men that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in. The strongest men in your army are now dead. Way to go, king. Live forever, O king. That was great. Yeah, the strongest men that you've got, now they're gone. You'll be sorry. And they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tied up into the fire. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, verse 23, bound, tied up, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And you're thinking, oh, God, where's the God of love? How come? Why didn't God deliver? Why didn't he do a miracle? Why didn't he just strike everybody dead? Or why didn't he just make everybody a Christian? You know, an angel shows up with a little one, ting, and all the sparkles go, and everybody just turns glowy white, you know, in their robes, and they hug one another, kiss a white kitten. He didn't do it. These poor guys got tied up and thrown in a fire, right into the heat of the fire. And is it hot? So hot that the two who didn't go in it but got too close to it, throwing them in, died, or however many there were. They died. The fire was so hot. That's to prove to you this is a miracle. It's to prove to the king that this is a miracle. And who is that God that delivered you out of my hands? I'll show you who I am. God uses this opportunity to bring himself glory through three guys who were committed to him, willing to say whatever God does is up to the Lord. We are his. Whatever he says, he's able to deliver us. But if he doesn't and we get thrown in, you got to know before we die that we will continue to serve him and we won't serve your gods. We belong to the Lord. Commitment. Now they're in the fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar, verse 24, the king was astonished. He was amazed. He was surprised. He was in awe. He rose up in haste and he spoke and he said to the counselors. Now remember, this guy is so angry you could see in his face. And he just had it heated seven times hotter and he had the strongest men in the army throw these guys in. And now he cries out, didn't we cast three men tied up into the fire? I wouldn't answer that question. I'd say, Bill, he's asking you, dude. I got a wife and kids. I mean, remember, he's mad. Is this a trick question? I'm not saying nothing. Didn't we throw three in there and weren't they tied up? True, O king. Smart answer. Just leave it at that. Verse 25, he answered and said, look, I see four men loose, underline loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And it's not hurting them. They're not burning. They have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Literally, in the original language, the Son of Gods. See, he doesn't know the one true God yet. But he realizes that one in there is a special being, like the Son of Gods. I know who is in there. This is what you and I would call a Christophany, an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus shows up and is walking in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what? Nothing on them was burned except for the things that held them captive. You got it, Christian? In the trial, as we go through these fire trials, the Lord walks with us. And the only thing that's burned away is what's really holding us back to serve. We're free as we walk with him. They're walking. I'm going to ask you a question. Now, be honest. Where would you rather be? Out there with that king who is an absolute lupo? Or in there with Jesus in the fire?
you're going to be honest, you know where you'd want to be. Just hang around the fire. And I know if it was Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and me, and I'd be going, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. Really? It's not bad, Lord. It's not that bad. I couldn't think of anything else to say. We're in a fire. What are you talking about? Hey, nice shoes. Hey, it's not that bad. I'm loose and we're walking. This is just cool. King says, I see four. We threw three in there, but there are four. One is like the Son of God. The Son of a God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace. Not too close, remember, the fire's too hot. And he spoke and he cried out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. Now, if it would have been Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and me, I would have said something like, there ain't no way I'm coming back out there. You come in here. I've been out there. I'm not going through that now. Come in. No. And Jesus would have had to say, it's all right. Lord, we don't have to go back. We just want to hang out with you. No, go ahead. I've got a plan. Oh, okay. And they came out of the fire, the Bible says. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men. In other words, eyewitnesses. It's not just some story. Upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on. They didn't even smell like smoke. They were seven times hotter. It made the miracle seven times better. The king in his anger made a fool of himself and showed God to be a bigger God than it would have been otherwise. And it wasn't even a hair on their head. Have you ever barbecued? You know, you're trying to start the thing and you lean down. No eyebrows. You turn the burger over, you flip it, and then all the hair is burned, and your wife says, maybe I'll turn that heat down some. That's how quickly hair, right? Singes. The Bible says, even though it was seven times hotter, and this is a furnace, a kiln kind of situation, seven times hotter than normal, not a hair on their body was singed, but it burned the ropes off. It was a real fire. And their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. And they had just been in a fire, in a furnace, seven times hotter than it normally burned. And they came out and everybody was, they were shocked. Now, if you and I were the king, do you hear the words I would think? I can think of two of them. Uh-oh. Because now they're out and they're not burned. What do you do with people like this? What if they're mad at you now? King says, verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and has changed the king's word. He's saying, you changed my word. I gave a command and this God changed it. And they yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. That's a negative. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. He says, I have just witnessed a miracle. You better not say anything bad about their God. We'll chop you to pieces and wreck your house. I've never seen anything like this in my life, he says. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Wait a minute. There was Nebuchadnezzar. There was Daniel. There was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was the Chaldeans and there was the people. Now he gives them more authority than they had to begin with. Remember the complainer, teacher? Remember just sour grapes? Now they're even higher in authority. Where's Daniel? He's a Jew. You think he bowed down? I don't think so. He's a ringleader of this bunch in chapter 1. Daniel's gone. This chapter takes place almost 10 years after Nebuchadnezzar had his dream. In that 10 years, remember, Daniel's been right under the king. So he's got a lot of authority and a lot of things to handle in this kingdom. And I believe Daniel, had he been there, would have not bowed down at all. That tells me something. Daniel wasn't around. His absence screams out of this chapter. And Bible scholars say that this chapter is a type or symbolic, if you'd rather have that language, of the nation of Israel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being Jews are a type of Israel. And this fiery trial is a type of the tribulation that is to come in the future. So this chapter is a type showing that the Lord God will protect the Jews through the tribulation period. Well, then that shows me right away who Daniel is the type of. Doesn't it show you? Daniel is nowhere to be seen. He's out of and away from the scene. He is a type of the church, I'm convinced. Because as the tribulation goes on and the Lord protects Israel through it, I believe the church will be out of and away from the scene, just as Daniel is not even mentioned, and he's out of and away from this whole situation. He's a type of the church. I believe these things are coming soon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went from going to die to having more power and authority in the kingdom. Only God can do that. Only God. What you thought was going to completely crush you would bring glory to God, and you'll see miracles. You know, there are times, and I know it, you don't like to hear it, but we've got to say it out loud. There are times when God's children go through fiery trials. Paul, he said, you know, I've been in many, many trials, and the Lord delivered me out of every one of them. And I think, well, Paul, but you know what? That one time they stoned you and left you there for dead. Paul says, yeah, that's true, Bob, but God delivered me. He stood back up, dusted himself off, went back into town. You see, Christian, contrary to maybe what you're hearing on television, radio, or out there somewhere, Paul walked around the stones a lot of times, but one time he had to walk through them. It was very painful. I know the same will be for you and me. There are times when you'll walk around, but there are some times when you're going to walk right through that fiery trial instead of going around. And the Lord is right there walking with you. He is always with you. He said so. I know those trials happen. Jesus said this, I'm with you wherever you go. Do you belong to Jesus? Are you truly His? Make sure. Make sure. Because listen to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and He spoke unto them. He's resurrected from the dead now. And He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, or look, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, even to the end of the world. I'm always with you. Hebrews 13:5. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness and be content with such as you have. Such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you content with the things you have or don't have? Do you really trust Him? Are you committed now before the trials begin? So that you don't have to be looking for a relationship in the middle. If you're in the midst of a trial, and I'm going to tell you, the wisdom that the Bible gives you is, number one, stop digging. Be still before the Lord. Seek the Lord and listen to His voice. And He will tell you what to do. He will show you. He will direct you. He will guide you. He knows, and He is right with you there. Psalm 37, verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsakes not His saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The Lord forsakes not His saints. Isaiah 42:16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they do not know. I will lead them in paths that they have not known.
I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. He's never going to forsake you ever, even if it's not going your way. We said, but it's not going. I'm praying, I'm trusting, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse until finally maybe they're going to throw me in the fire. He will not leave you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 8 and 9. Paul says, this happens to Christians. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Christian, aren't we? In today's world, aren't we troubled on every side? Everywhere we look, if it's not gas prices, it's the weather conditions. If it's not the weather conditions, it's the stupidity in the laws that are passed. It's the bigotry and the hatred and the jealousy that goes around among people and groups and all those things that are foolish and a waste of good time. He says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. That means we don't understand what's happening, but we don't give up. We're perplexed, but we are not in despair. Yeah, we can honestly go, I don't know what's coming next. I don't know how the United States is going to deal with this. I don't know how our community, we don't know. We're perplexed. These answers are beyond us and we're praying. But we're not in despair. Listen closely. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. Can you really trust a God that would allow you to be thrown into a fiery furnace? He has shown you no question. I can trust Him. But you know when I need to start trusting Him is today. Because if you wait for me to get right about in the mouth of that furnace, I'm going to be whining, looking for ways out, maybe willing to compromise, trying to make a deal. Because that's human nature. We're weak that way. So the commitment must begin before the trials. When are the trials coming? Well, I can't tell you the day or the hour. I can tell you this. The band is already tuned up. You look around the world and they're ready to play. And we will bow if we don't know the Lord and don't have a personal relationship with Him. That's what's going on in the world today. You say, I'm in the middle of a trial right now. Trust the Lord. Even though you're perplexed and don't understand. Even though you thought it would be one way and it's turning out to be a whole nother way. Trust Him. Rest in the Lord. Commit your heart and your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have it in ourselves. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't give up on God. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will not do that. He loves you. Let's bow our heads together.